back here on Downtown on a Wednesday afternoon. It's time for this week's Sports Lit 101 with Bruce Pratt joining us in studio again this week. Welcome again, Bruce.
It's always good to be here, sir.
You got a book that you've been dying to share with us for the last several weeks, and you were explaining last week that you could have read it very quickly, but you have been savoring this one.
Yeah, this one and the next one we're going to talk about, we're going to have a guest next week, but after that, I don't know how I missed, I saw a review of this in the Times back in the 90s, and somehow I just didn't get to it. But I was at the Waldo County YMCA, where I work out, and I found this book in the, take a book, drop a book off thing, and I thought, well, I'll look at this. It's an astonishing book. It's called Born to Run, A Hidden Tribe, Super Athletes in the Greatest Race the World Has Never Seen, by Christopher McDougall, who is a runner and a journalist. Lives down in the Amish country, not far from where I went to college now. And he heard about a guy called Caballo Blanco, who was a gringo, as they say, who lived in the Sierra Madres and was considered somewhat of a ghost in the Mexican state of Chihuahua, and a friend of a tribe known as the Tarahumara. Now, Tarahumara is not really their name. Ramamuri is their name, but they... When the conquistadors gave him that name, Tarahumara, they thought, well, okay, that's great. Let him think there's a Tarahumara. We'll just be who we are. Now, these people have no written language, no currency, no violence. They live somewhat nomadic in what are called the Barranca de Cobre, the copper canyons of northern Mexico in the Sierra Madre. Now, it's a climate where it snows in the winter, and not a lot of snow, where it gets below freezing. And in the summer, it gets well into the hundreds, and chronic drought is an issue. The area is drained by three rivers. And the Tarahumara, as they are generally known, move to the highest elevations. They live mostly on corn and barbecued mice.
Wow.
And a lot of corn beer. In fact, they will drink corn beer, stay up all night, and then run for 48 straight hours. They don't warm up. They don't stretch. They run either barefoot or in sandals that are made from things like tires. They don't like running shoes. They've tried them. And in the course of this book, McDougall discovers that the athletes who wear the most expensive shoes and the athletes who do yoga are the two that are most often hurt.
Interesting.
That Nike, I think it was Oregon, the Oregon track team, they supplied them with shoes. And the coach said, don't give me the cheapest ones. And the athletes had fewer injuries. The whole idea being that if you go barefoot, and we've always known this, if you walk around barefoot, it's better for you, better for your feet, better for your posture and everything. If you can learn to run barefoot, and I've never been able to do that, except on the grass of the football field,
right,
but certainly
right.
Not on the track, that you will your legs will not hurt the same way. The impact has changed because you strike differently. The hip and knee and ankle injuries that people have. But that's not the real point of the book. That's something we learn along the way. First of all is the search for McDougall to find Caballo Blanco. And I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I never took Spanish, so I don't know. Who is this gringo living down here who has the trust of these people? I mean, he is invited to stay with them. He's, they don't run from him when they see him. They'll run from others when they see him because they learned that with the conquistadors, well, they could fight him or they could run away from him, and the conquistadors couldn't catch him. And so what happened is he finds this guy and then finds that in itself a mystery. Who is Caballo Blanco? Who is this guy that will tell you sort of stories and is known as a ghost? He's there one minute, he's gone. They can't find him. Then, because he's famous in legend, and because these runners are so famous, Yankee, as they call them, or gringo guys, ask them to run in some of those great races, like the one we've talked about, the Imogen Pass race in Colorado, or the Leadville race. And these guys go, yeah, okay, but you're going to have to give us like a ton of corn. And then we'll go, we'll race. And they all know how to speak Spanish, but very few of the Mexicans know how to speak their language which is just fine with them. They're not trying to teach it to anybody. And so they made appearances at some of these ultra marathoning things. Well, one of the places where men and women can compete almost equally is ultra marathoning. Women have won some of the longest races in America and in North America. Probably because, I mean, if you can carry a baby for 9 months, I guess endurance might be something that you that you can do. So some of the Tarahumara people went to some of these ultra marathons, ultra races, you know, where they're 150-mile race. And, you know, 150 miles, right? I mean, you think of the Bunyan Derby, they averaged 45 miles a day. Mm. That was astonishing. These guys can average 75 or 100 miles in a 24-hour period.
Wow.
And they don't drink electrolytes. They don't have to take special preparation. They don't carry energy bars with them. They have some stuff they carry which sounds like some kind of gorp made with corn and stuff. But they run from the minute they're born, basically. As soon as they can walk, they run. And their schools play games that involve a lot of running. And it becomes part of what they do. And it also helps them because when they move up into the mountains in the summer, it's an arduous climb. I mean, this is not like, you know, going for a walk. This is like climbing Katahdin to get to your to get to your home for the summer.
Just curious, what's the elevation where they live?
Oh, they get up, I think, over 9,000 feet. And I think the highest point in the Sierra Madres is like 10,400 feet or something. It was mentioned in the book, and I should have made a note of that. But so then the summers can be scorching. And they have to sometimes go down into town to trade, to do things. And they appear and disappear. I mean, they're just like
ghosts.
Yeah, well, exactly. and that's been their survival, because the other problem with the Barranca del Cobre, the copper canyons, is that Mexican drug cartels have been using them, and they smuggle a tremendous amount of marijuana through there. And the Tarahumara people have lost people who showed up at the wrong place at the wrong time. So they're, of course, now super wary of anybody. And they're not just like they used to be wary of Americans, but now they're wary of everybody. Mm. But the story is a race that gets... They decide to have this race. And McDougal and Caballo Blanco are part of it. And they want to do it. And they want to have just certain elite runners. So a guy named Barefoot Tom is one of them. He's completely out of his gourd. And a woman and her significant other, who are incredible party animals, and she can still just destroy men at huge distances. And the idea that you, one of the things you learn from this book, and I thought this was pretty interesting, is, you know, when you're a kid, you can run all day. You stop for a minute to catch your breath, and then you run full speed again.
Right.
At some point, we learn that if we want to do that, we need to rest longer. But really, we probably don't. What happens is we understand that we can control ourselves in a different way. And the what also happens here is that there's a lot of studies that were done about the diet and everything, and they were talking about how in Japan, colon, breast, and prostate cancer are almost unknown until they began eating American food after World War II. The first step going cancer-free, the Tarahumara way, consists of simply enough, eat less. The second step is eat simple on paper, though tougher to practice, eat better. They eat almost exclusively fruits, vegetables, very little red meat, very few processed carbs, and they are they're able to control their diet. Now, one of the guys who gets involved in this, we may remember, listeners, from way back, is Joe Vigil, who was the great cross country coach who started everything running out there at in Flagstaff. And we had two books by Miles Schrag's group, Solstice Publishing, that mentioned him. And he came out to watch what these guys ate in addition to run. They eat pinto beans, squash, chili peppers, wild greens, pinole, and lots of chia. And pinole isn't as hard to get as you think. You can buy it from seed places. And
barbecued mice, right?
And barbecued mice. They like the barbecued mice. And they also say soften the corn with limestone. And they think that as a result that they're also getting some lime. How about beer, I ask? Any benefit to drinking like the Tarahumara? Yes and no, Tony said. Tarahumara Tezgumo is a very lightly fermented, so it's low in alcohol and high in nutrients. That makes beer a rich food source, like a whole grain smoothie, while ours is just sugar water. And I like the idea of a whole grain smoothie.
Me too.
That. And they say that you can, these guys said, we wanted to grow his own corn beer. No, grow some wild geraniums, he suggested, or buy the extract online, Geranium Nivium. It's the Tarahumara wonder drug. It's as effective as red wine at neutralizing disease-free radicals. Wild geraniums, anti-everything, anti-inflammatory, antiviral, antibacterial, antioxidant. Now, how these guys figure all this stuff out, we don't know, but there was really, you look at it, it's their only choice. And because they were sometimes subsistence people, eating less may just be, you know, what happens. So I've been putting some of this for the last month to work. I've been trying to walk barefoot as much as possible. And when I go to the gym, I try not to come home and immediately start to eat. I try and, you know, which is what I want.
Have you been watching me? That's what I do.
Which is what I want to do. So if I get home, we usually eat around 11 or 11:30, have lunch. If I get home at 10:45, I mean, the first thing I do is to drink a bunch of water. And then I say to myself, you're not going to eat till lunch. And then when lunch is over and you've had this, I've had this wonderful salad that I have every day and with some protein and the like, it's so hard to walk past the refrigerator and the cupboards and stuff and say, there are chips in there.
Yeah.
There are russet chips in there, you know. But what I have found is that this whole idea that they have that running is that movement, constant movement is essential, makes a tremendous difference.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we'll talk about this book again later. I'm going to try and track down. Well,
Christopher is this Bacuda. A new book?
No, this came out in 1995.
Oh, wow.
I remember reading in the New York Times about it, and I thought, okay, this is just like all the great Navajo runners. This is people down that part of the world. It's different. And it's different because these people really don't want to be part of anyone else's society. I said 95. No, it's 2009. They want to be left alone. They're not antisocial. They're generous people. If you show up, they'll feed you almost no matter what is on hand. But they're trying to preserve a lifestyle. And think about those people that live up in Colombia near the glaciers who are watching the glacier completely recede and seeing their whole world change. How indigenous people are just being... I mean, we know about it in North America, and we're lucky here because we have an indigenous community near us that can keep reminding us of the way things have happened to them. But this book really opened my eyes to the way that if you choose to live differently, what are you really giving up? And what are these people giving up? Well, they don't know anything about electronic devices, so they're not giving that up. What they're giving up is... what would imprison other people? They're just who they are, and they're going to do it their way. And the remarkable things that the distances that they can cover running is really, really unbelievable. They can run hundreds of miles without rest or injury. I mean, think about that. And they don't have injuries that other people have. They don't have those things.
But, you know, the takeaway from this is what we've heard for years from people who've studied different cultures around the world. I think of the Blue Zones, the guy we had on, and he talked about one of the constants is this. If you want to find healthy people who live a long time, eat less, move more.
Eat less, move more. And in your mind, don't lust for things that you don't need. I mean, that's what McDougall makes the run in this himself, and he's not that good a runner. I mean, he's a good marathoner and all that, but he tries to do everything he can to be like them, to see how long, you know, it would take. And it's pretty interesting. These people just start doing this when they're young. They have, you know, the kids seem to be, they go to school, they learn Spanish and go to school, and then they go back up to the mountains
now,
for the summer.
What have you noticed from spending more time barefoot?
I've noticed I hate wearing shoes, you know, that. But I have noticed. I've been working with Dr. Truby and Paul Colleen have been trying to help me with my posture because I have an old spinal fusion. I don't want to have another one done. And they gave me all these exercises to do, and they both said, you know, if you can walk barefoot, if you can just work on your posture that way, it's better. It is not where I want it to be, but it's only been since April that I've been working on it. But I'm better. I don't walk as stooped over as I was before, like some, you know, guy 20 years older than me. So
very interesting.
Doing a lot better. Yeah.
Excellent.
We'll talk more about that. I'm going to try and track McDougal down.
All right. We look forward to it. Thanks, Bruce.
My pleasure.
Bruce Pratt, Sports Lit 101 every week here on Downtown.